In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, if there's one thing about this preaching business that can make you humble, I think I read the Gospel from Matthew, and our Gospel for today, I think, is from Mark. And it is that upon which I will preach. You will find the proper Gospel in your bulletin, which was made by a proper person, not by me. So, on with Mark. Like Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome, we stand at the empty tomb, and within we hear only an angel who says, "Do not be afraid." How often do we stand before emptiness, wondering where God, where Jesus has gone? We stand alone, not knowing if we are in a moment of loss or of liberation, confronting our fear of enslavement or fear of our freedom from enslavement, or of our fear of being without love, loving and being loved, or our fear of love, loving and being loved, even our fear of not fulfilling our own potential, of confronting our own potential, or even our fear of being without hope, or our fear of daring to hope. We stand startled with these women of the Gospel, and with its new delivering light, we too come to see that it is Easter, and that the emptiness of the tomb is not absence and loss, but tells us that He is risen. We are free. We are loved. We are bathed. We are washed. We are baptized into hope. That is terrifying. That is wonderful. And that is a freedom that lets us open the empty tombs we might hold within ourselves, that they and we might be filled. Be not afraid. Let us roll back the stones from our hearts and open them to risen light. When heavenly beings appear, this is their word to us. Be not afraid. Be comforted, for the God of creation has found us to be good. The covenant with Noah acclaims our protection. The rising of our dead and rattled bones is envisioned by God's prophet. The Passover protection and liberation from slavery rolls from the Red Sea to the rivers of our baptism, and the risen Christ is our hope. Believe. Be not afraid. When the women went to the tomb, it was empty, except for a young man wearing white, an angel, no doubt. The scholar Joel Marcus feels that Mark's grammatical and structural clues create a parallel between this man-angel and the men-angels who told the aged Abraham that his aged wife would bear him a son. Both of these separate apparitions proclaiming the impossible creation of new life, when all hope was not only gone, but absurd. This angel in the tomb is God's messenger of resurrection, and he specifies the return to Galilee, sending them all back to where the entire journey of Mark's Gospel began, and completes the circuit of the journey out of Galilee, back into Galilee, to the place where they discovered Jesus, and where Jesus discovered them. It's helpful to understand that the anchor for this Galilee inspection occurs two chapters earlier, in the 14th chapter of Mark's Gospel, where Jesus tells Peter and the other disciples that when he is arrested, you will all become deserters or fall away. For it is written, "I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep will be scattered. But after I am raised up, I will go after you to Galilee. This anticipates and foretells not only the terror that the disciples felt after the crucifixion, but also the comforting words of the angel in the empty tomb. And thus, the Easter statement in Mark's Gospel is one to scatter sheep. He is not here. Look, there is the place they laid him. Go tell his disciples, said Peter, that he is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you. The angel's message is spoken only to the women. Mary Magdalene, Mary, the mother of James, and to Salome. And they are to tell this message to Peter and the disciples. The angel's words convey forgiveness, comfort, and welcoming that were certainly needed by these disciples, these people, these poor sheep who were truly scattered. Peter had denied knowing Jesus. The disciples were fugitives hunted by the authorities, and they had lost their beloved teacher and friend. With this message, Peter is forgiven, all of the scattered are forgiven, and all invited to Galilee to meet Jesus once more. They're invited to come home to the place where Jesus taught them, the place of miracles, and the place of their history. If we put ourselves in the place of the women as they enter the tomb, they experience absence, confusion, fear, and failure. The gospel describes them as seized by terror and amazement. The Greek is more direct. They are filled with traumas by apostasis. They are traumatized and in shock. Perhaps Mark's point is less the women's response to the angel and more that the women received the angel's message. In Mark's gospel, women have a special role. They are instruments and demonstrators of faith. The dead girl is restored to life, and women are healed by their faith. The widow's mite is the example of true giving, and a woman pours a treasured ointment over Jesus, anointing him. And here the women come to the tomb to provide a final anointing. They don't know how or by whom the great stone door will be rolled away so they can enter the tomb, but they come to complete the care of Jesus' body that was hastily begun as the Sabbath approached with the sunset on Good Friday. It is the last act of care, of friendship and honor. In their faith, in their loyalty, in their goodness, Mary and Salome receive the message that liberates the ages. He has been raised. He is not here. Mark wrote in the sixth decade after Jesus was born. He wrote his gospel to the Christians of the Roman Empire in the time of Nero. And Nero was the first emperor to systematically persecute Christians. The terror was unimaginable. Many denied their Christianity to survive, and many did not survive. Mark's angel speaks to the broken, frightened, and scattered Christian community of his day. Don't forget. Go back to the beginning. Remember the teachings. Remember the miracles. Remember the eternal hope you are given. Remember who you are. The parallel between the Christian community in Mark's time and the Christian community at the time of the crucifixion is strong and direct. Both were close to becoming failed communities of leaderless fugitives. And Mark's abrupt gospel ending is there to startle and to confront these troubled souls. He is calling back the scattered sheep. The only shepherds that I really know are Fergus and Bill, my Shetland sheep dogs. If there's anything a Sheldie can't stand, it's a scattered flock. Put a Sheldie in a room full of people standing around talking, and before too long, through yips, bumps, nudges and nose jabs in the back of your leg. The people are standing much closer together. The flock is brought together by good and furry shepherds. Someone leaving our house, going away from our little flock, makes our dogs anxious. Outside, they will run in great circles to find and herd back the stray. The Shelbys instinctively know the risks of distance, loneliness, and fear. One way or another, they make their point, and in their eyes, our flock stays intact. Mark's sudden ending barks at the Christians of his day. He herds them along. He points to the shocked, traumatized women and says, "You are like the traumatized women, like the traumatized disciples. You are human, frightened, and overwhelmed by the powers of this world, but resurrection is before you." He points back to the healing ministry of Galilee and says, "Here is your strength." And finally, Mark's gospel gives a choice. You can hide in the shadow of the empty tomb, or you can walk in the light of the resurrection. In closing, the angel's message is a call to come home. It is a call of safety and comfort. It tells Peter, the disciples, and Mary, and Salome to return to Galilee, to the place where they met Jesus, where he lived with them and taught them, and to the place where Jesus has now gone on before them. It would have been heard by the Christians of Mark's day less as a message of Easter joy and more as a message of Easter oxygen. The angel's message points back to the beginnings of Mark's gospel that tell of Jesus' ministry and miracles in Galilee and tells the persecuted Christians that their strength lies in those beginnings. When we step back from the context of the early Christians and think about what this passage tells us, then the meaning is even larger. We stand in the light of the resurrection, but we all will face times that are overwhelming, that will drive us to loneliness and fear. Mark's ending is sudden and abrupt. The angel speaks, the women flee, and then silence. Nothing. Tonight, we too confront the resurrection, and we ask, what do we do now? That is exactly the message of Mark's gospel. The gospel's shorter original ending tells us in its emptiness that we are left to complete the story, that it is ours to complete. We are now the story. It is ours to discern, to live into, to convey, and to fulfill in our lives the meaning of the resurrection. In our humanity, the angel speaks to us and all those who have come before us, all those who will come after us, and all those who are with us, past, future, and present. And we are reminded that our beginnings are in the teachings of Jesus, that our strength is in our community, and that our home is in eternity. In a greater Galilee, where Jesus has gone on before us and waits for us there to welcome us home. Amen.